Amen. I've got to go higher. One of the most important things in life is in knowing and fulfilling your assignment. Jesus knew from the very beginning what his purpose was, and he was focused on his purpose even in death. After his death, burial, and resurrection, his job in the earth was done. And his next task was to sit down at the right hand of the Father in heaven to intercede on our behalf and to prepare a place for us. After his resurrection, Jesus went to see about his disciples. Somebody say he'll come and see about you, won't he? He knew their state of mind. Some were wondering, and then some of them were worrying. And he wanted to give them some encouragement and enlightenment so that they were now prepared for their mission. Jesus was and is the foundation of the Christian church, and the disciples' assignment then was to carry out the ministry of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. He told them that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, because they were witnesses to all of the things that Jesus had done. They were to go out and to preach and teach, but they could not do it without power from on high. Glory God. I want you to know today that you can't do anything for God unless you've got the Holy Ghost. Because if not, every time you get ready to open your mouth, you will get in your flesh. You'll be teaching wrong, acting wrong, talking wrong. You'll just be dead wrong. Amen. You have got to have the Holy Ghost, people of God. So after the Holy Ghost came, all Christians have the ability to not only receive him, but to be led by him. And Jesus knew that the disciples needed power in order to go forward in their mission. They also couldn't be caught up in their emotions, looking at the fact that he wasn't still in the earth walking with them. He didn't want them to be caught up in going by what they could see, because he had already done what he came to do. Now it was time for them to do what it was that they were called to do. Amen. So what's important to know is that for anybody who intends to carry out the mission that God has assigned you to do, just like the disciples, you need Holy Ghost power if you're going to do it right. Somebody say, I've got to go higher. So when you've got the Holy Ghost, everything that he tells you is always going to be aligned with the word. He is never contradictory. Amen. He's not just a comforter, but he's also your guide. He's also a teacher, and he is the third part of the Godhead. He doesn't just give you the evidence of speaking in tongues, but the evidence of his presence is the fruit that is produced in your life. What you talking about, Pastor Jackson? Well, that should be things like love. You ought to have some love. You ought to have some joy, some peace, some goodness, some gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith and long suffering as well. See, you can't be cursing folks out and then tell me you got the Holy Ghost. You can't mistreat your wife, Deacon Jackson, and then tell me you've got the Holy Ghost. You can't be a liar and then say you got the Holy Ghost. You are not a thief and then claiming you got the Holy Ghost, because he corrects you. He ain't gonna just let you go out there and be willy-nilly doing things your way. Amen. He brings things back to your remembrance. He'll say you forgot to lock the door. You forgot to cut the stove off. You got to go back to the house. Amen. He brings things to your remembrance. But the one of the most important things that the folks on the outside as well as on the inside of the church are looking for is that you should bear fruit if you've got the Holy Ghost. You can't tell me you've got the Holy Ghost and you are unproductive. And you spend your days looking at the wall and twiddling your thumbs. You can't tell me you got the Holy Ghost and all you do is lay around every day doing nothing. Or you're out in the streets, but you out starting mess. Don't tell me you got the Holy Ghost and you ain't acting holy. And you ain't out telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. That's how the Holy Ghost operates. Amen. Somebody say, I've got to go higher.
I've got to go higher.
If we are going to go higher, then we've got to be like Jesus. Amen. And he made it clear that everybody is not called to preach. Let's get that straight. But everybody does have an assignment. Everybody is called to be a witness of the things that you know that Jesus has done just for you. Amen. And as a disciple of Christ, the least of your responsibility is to live right and tell somebody else about Jesus. Amen. Somebody say, I've got to go higher. Now, there was a process of things that occurred before Jesus was ascended into heaven or before he went higher. And there is a process of things that need to take place before we can go higher, people of God. Jesus had already been born of the flesh through a virgin. He had a relationship with the Father, and he had been baptized as an outward show of his belief to lead the way for us, if you will. But please, no one understand that the first thing that you have to do in order to go higher is have a relationship with the Father. But Jesus said that no man can come to the Father unless he comes through the door. He said, you've got to come by me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Deacon Jackson, you've got to come through Jesus. Amen. Somebody say, I've got to go higher. Then, as you build a relationship with him through studying his word, through prayer and fellowship, you begin your preparation to go higher. And if you notice, Jesus taught the disciples for 3 years prior to this time frame. So they weren't just told what to do, but they were taught and shown the way for 3 years. So I've got 4 things that you need to know, and then I'll be out of your way. Amen?
Amen.
In preparation to go higher, the first thing is you need to know that Jesus gives the assignment, and it's our job to carry it out. You can't pick and choose who you are in the kingdom. God does that for you. And it's not us who makes any determination, but it's God who chooses what he wants to use each of us for. Amen. The old folks used to say, well, some were sent and some just went. Amen. And they meant that everybody that's up preaching or doing certain things were not called to do so. Some of them went on their own. But it's God who gives us these gifts, and that it's God that calls us. See, Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means they are irrevocable. He will not change his mind about what he wants to use us for in his service, people of God. So when you ask yourself, well, why would God do this? Well, chapter 11 tells us why. The prior verse said that it's because of their forefathers. Those are the patriarchs of Israel. We all know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, God gave to these 3 men unconditional promises that he would bless them and make them a mighty nation. Since these promises were given by God, they carried the weight of certainty. There was no doubt about it because it came from the mouth of God that he was going to bless them and make them a great nation. Amen. The promises were God's gifts. God called the patriarchs to follow him, and he made an everlasting covenant with them that included their descendants. God was not going to change his mind. So you can't change God's mind about what he wants to do with his plan for your life either. Somebody say, I've got to go higher.
I've got to go higher.
Number two, he blessed them. See, God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips who he calls. I'll say it again. God does not call the equipped, but he equips who he calls. Jesus laid hands on the disciples before his ascension and before they were sent out. I don't care how many inadequacies or challenges you personally may have, God will give you what you need so you can do what he called you to do. Amen. Followers of Jesus have experienced this kind of truth through the centuries since the calling of his first disciples. The disciples were ordinary people just like you and I. They weren't the most highly educated. They were not all charismatic or influential people. They weren't the smartest or the sharpest pencil, amen, in the box, amen. They didn't hold the highest positions, or they didn't have the best pedigree or come from all the greatest families, amen. They didn't have a resume filled up with all kinds of accomplishments, accolades, and awards. Amen. But Jesus called the ordinary, and he just did extraordinary things with them. Amen. Y'all ain't talking to me. Hello. Amen. Come on. He changed the world, and he continues to change the world today by using ordinary people.
Amen.
To do extraordinary things through them. Glory to God. All we have to do today is simply obey and do what it is that he called you to do. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 29, Paul tells us to remember. He says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. That means that you didn't come from a rich family with a silver spoon in your mouth. He said, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Somebody say, I've got to go higher.
I've got to go higher.
Number three, they worshiped him. And as Jesus ascended and the disciples were preparing to go out, they worshiped him. Anytime you are intending to be used by God and to be elevated from one stage or phase to another, you need to find yourself in a place of worship. Worship reminds you of who God is and who you are not. See, we can't do this without God, and if you start trying to leave God out, it won't work. Amen. See, y'all may wonder sometimes, why don't she sing before she get ready to preach? Because I am connecting with God on a different level. Amen. I'm trying to get closer to God so he can use me for his glory. That's why you sing in church before the word comes forward. See, it's not about tradition, but it's about trajectory. It's not about what somebody else did and how somebody else did it. There's a lot of folks that can sing better than me, but can't none of them touch God's heart like I can. Amen.
Amen.
It ain't about how well I sing. It's about my heart in the process. It's not about how well Sister Howard may get up to do the welcome, but it's about her heart and her willingness to just do the welcome because I asked her to. It ain't about how well the boys may be able to dance, but it's about their heart and their willingness to get before God in a place of worship. Glory God. Because worship moves the hand of God. One of the reasons that King Saul got in trouble with the Lord is because he started to get the big head. See, that's what happened. When you start to get the big head and you start thinking that everything is about you, he lost his anointing. And then God sent them out to anoint King David, or at that time, Boy David, who was just a shepherd boy. Amen. David was anointed because he had God's heart, because he knew how to get before God in a place of worship. David had been a worshiper even while he was out there tending sheep. Now you may ask yourself, what reason does this boy have to be out here dancing around, praising God and worshiping God? And he just out here on the backside of a hill somewhere with some sheep. But he had a heart for God. So when David was anointed and appointed, God consistently blessed him, because even when David made mistakes, he always knew how to come back to God. And we know a whole lot of stuff about David. David was constantly making mistakes, but he always knew how to come back to God, bow down before him, and find himself in a place of worship. True worship is defined by priority. It's a matter of the heart. If we place the highest priority on who God is and live out that dedication in our everyday lives, each action will be worship. Glory God. It's more than music. It's more than witnessing. It's more than paying tithes. Worship is submitting to God's perfection and his will, and placing all our burdens on him, trusting that even when it feels foolish, even when our bodies don't feel like it, loving even when it hurts. Glory God. Actions are a necessary part of worship, because they are the outward manifestation of what our inward beliefs are. So see, a lot of times we say, oh, well, you know, God knows my heart. He does. And that's why you're in trouble now. Because if you truly love God like you say you do, your hand will just accidentally go up. You ain't even thinking about it. You just look around and you got your hand up, because you bear witness to the spirit that's present in the house. Amen. A worship-filled lifestyle will express the beauty of holiness through your love for God that cannot help but seep out or ooze out within everything that we say and do. Somebody say, I've got to go higher.
I've got to go higher.
They stayed in the temple praising God is number four. And I'm getting ready to wrap up, y'all. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are chosen to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into this marvelous light. Our job is to stay in fellowship and continue to praise God, because he has called us out from darkness into his light. Amen. One of the tricks of the enemy is pulling us away from the light of God out into the darkness of the world. And away from fellowshipping with the saints. He knows that you get stronger and move from glory to glory as you're praising God in the church. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, which is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. See, praise is also a weapon. Praise will silence the enemy, give us strength, lighten our load, and save us from our enemies. We can fight the enemy and even our own negativity, these negative feelings that we sometimes have, if you would just find yourself in a praise. Glory God. Praise creates an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to work and to move, and for God to answer prayers. The Bible says God inhabits our praises. So that means that wherever we are, whenever we praise God, we are inviting God into our situations. So if you want God to be in your midst right now, if you want God to be with you, if you want God to be in your marriage, if you want God to bless your business, if you want God to take you to higher heights and to deeper depths, you ought to stop acting like church is a spectator sport and go ahead, throw your hands up, throw your head back, and give God a praise right now. Glory to God. You ought to stand to your feet and give God praise if you want him to inhabit your circumstance. You ought to stand to your feet and give God praise right now if you want him to inhabit your situation. You ought to stand to your feet and give God praise right now if you want him to inhabit your home. You ought to stand to your feet. I don't know about anybody else, but I've got to go higher. So therefore, I don't mind giving God a praise. I've been through too much. I've got to go higher. I've lost too much. I've got to go higher. I've come too far to turn around now. I've got to go higher. I didn't come here to spectate and to look at none of y'all, but I've got to go higher. I don't know who I'm talking to, and I don't know what you've been through, but if you make up in your mind that you're going to go higher, go ahead and give. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of praise right now. Throw your hands up. See, somebody say, I'm ready now. I've got to go higher. I got my strength back. I've got to go higher. I got my joy back. I've got to go higher. I've got my peace back. I've got to go higher. I got my love back. I've got to go higher. I got my step back. I've got to go higher. I don't know about you, but I've got to go higher. Lord. Jesus died.
Yes, Lord.
So that we can go higher, people of God. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise in this house. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Bible says praise is calmly for the upright. Hallelujah, Lord. Before you get ready to go out to do anything, glory God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You've got to make up in your mind that you're going to go higher. No matter what it looks like. No matter what it feels like, I want to remind you on today to make up in your mind to go higher. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank God right now. And we give him glory, honor, and praise for all that he has done and all that he is getting ready to do in us.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
I want to pray with you because sometimes we get discouraged based on things that are going on around us. But I want to remind you to encourage yourself in the Lord. All the glory and all the honor belongs to God.
Amen.
We don't get any of it and we don't need any of it. Y'all know it's God who brought us. It's God who has taught us. And it's God who has kept us. But I want to pray with you this morning. Because for some of us, every time we make up in our minds that we're going to do better and we're going to go higher, there's an enemy sitting there waiting on you to pull you back into the foolishness, to pull you back into the depression, to pull you back into this low, dark place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Deacon Jackson, I need you to walk outside. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, God. One of the things that I know for sure is that God loves me and he loves each of you. But because of his love, He sends his Holy Ghost to lead us and to guide us. He sends his Holy Ghost to comfort us. He sends his Holy Ghost even on this morning to give us a fresh touch and a reminder of who he is and how he operates in our lives. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now, God, for your many blessings. I thank you, God, for everyone that is collected here in this place. I pray now, God, that you would continue to purge us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Remove everything that's not like you, God. Because, God, we desire to go higher. God, we surrender to you. We lift up our hands right now, God, and we yield to your spirit in this place. We yield to you, God, because you are our creator. You made us and you know all about us. You know all the ins and outs of us that nobody else even knows about, God. You know the things that have hurt us. You know the things that have discouraged us. You know the things that have been on our minds, God. But right now we surrender them unto you because we desire to go higher in you, Lord. Continue, God, to keep us on the wheel. Continue, God, to make us and to mold us. Continue, God, to have your way in our lives. Move by your spirit, God. We need a fresh touch in the house on this morning, God. And we thank you in advance, God, for everything that you are getting ready to do in this place. In us individually, in us collectively, and in this ministry, God. Use us for your glory. Have your way, Lord. It is in Jesus' name that we ask these blessings and we thank you. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. The Charity Full Gospel Baptist Church is located at 1775 Booker Street in the heart of Jackson, Mississippi. And we simply ask that when you come as you are, and then allow God to elevate you to where he would have you to be. Until next time, may God bless you and may God keep you is our prayer.